In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we are going to finish, I promise, we're going to finish this today, Q&A part 7 and 8. There are tons of questions, dude.
It feels and like 13 and 14.
I know, it feels like we've been doing a million of these, but we are going to get through it today, and we're going to move on to something, you know, next week we'll be on, we'll be moving on. Not that this is bad, just there's a lot of questions people have, and we want to make sure we answer them. So, Q&A part 7 and 8. This episode and next episode, and as usual, yeah, we'll talk about other stuff too, but hang in there, folks. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? It is David Wright, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
I almost forgot what you
looked
like.
Man, I know. It's been a while. apologies to those of you who've missed us over the past few weeks, but I was right in the middle of grad season, and grad season means a hypnosis show almost every night for, I did 23 shows in 21 days.
Damn.
Yeah.
When they say thousands of people across the United States.
You're absolutely right. I got thousands of people just in the Detroit area. I'll say that. I mean, just in this immediate area. But boy, let me just tell you about grad season. Again, bunch of schools, and I'm going to miss some because there's a whole bunch of them. But some of the best schools out there, Northville, Brighton, Woodhaven, a whole bunch of other ones. But that, some great kids, great graduates, great shows, had a blast. Was just out last weekend, a week ago, this past weekend, at the Canton Liberty Fest. Did a couple shows on Saturday night there.
Wow.
That's fun. I've never been out to the Canton Liberty Fest before, but shout out to them. And we're kind of back on typical schedule now. So
yeah, Monday.
Yeah, it's a Monday. And Matt's still recovering.
I'm Mr.
Tough Mudder.
I'm fully recovered.
Nice.
Don't let my walk fool you.
Yeah.
No, it was a great experience. If you want to challenge yourself and put yourself to the test, you want to do something like that.
Yeah. I've always admired like people who do well marathons in general.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine that, but even Tough Mudder, just because you got to add all these obstacles in that make it so much more difficult.
We did the 10K, and yep, within that 10K, there were 20 obstacles.
Yep.
And some of them were, you know, like, oh, really? It could have challenged you more, but there was one that was actually kind of funny. It was called the Crybaby.
Uh-huh.
The Crybaby was like, they described it as like tear gas.
Oh,
right? And
yeah,
you have to crawl through this, you know, big block of wood or what have you, and there's gas inside of it.
Oh.
The folks that had asthma problems came out of there feeling great because it was like Vicks.
Oh, Vapo Rub. Right? Yeah.
And they came out, they're like, I'm going to do that again, because it really kind of opened up their lungs or what have you. So, but it was dark, and I was wearing sunglasses, and I'm crawling through. I'm like, why is it so dark in here? I've realized I'm wearing sunglasses.
I have sunglasses on.
But it was a whole bunch of buddies and myself, and we had a really great time, and we really hyped each other up. And
nice.
We had the old guys, you know, guys in their 50s and then their mid 40s, and then we had the youngins, your college age boys, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of split it up. As the gentleman that put it together, he was strategic in getting the young kids involved. But it was definitely an experience, and anyone can do it.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to challenge yourself.
Sure.
But you also have to prepare. And yes, I wish I had prepared more.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to do it next year. And now I know what to expect.
Absolutely. Once you've done it, you know, like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't really hard, but it was challenging.
Well, and I do know just from the things I've watched online, mm-hmm, and I've known a couple of other people that I'm acquaintances or friends with that have done it in the past, that it's a big camaraderie type thing.
Absolutely.
Too, because the whole point of a Tough Mudder is everybody helping everybody else.
It's a community. It is definitely a community event.
Yeah.
And there were strangers helping strangers up a wall and what have you. It was really cool to see. It was really fun to be a part of. So,
well, good for you, Matt.
Thank you.
Oh, good for you.
No, that's an impressive thing, for real. That's cool.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go and cry in the corner now.
Go suck your thumb somewhere.
But you've been doing great Odin's
Raven. Great Odin's Raven.
You've been doing a lot of shows.
Oh, you know, super busy.
You know, we've both been super busy, but I got to tell you, you know, not doing this these episodes on Mondays, it kind of threw my world awry a little bit because I look forward to the Monday nights.
Uh-huh.
And yes, we've had done a number of Q&A episodes and we're going to wrap those up today.
We are. Yep.
But I look forward to the coming weeks and the coming episodes because I know you've been working really hard on coming up with some topics that you've been kind of saving. So looking forward to those.
Yep, absolutely. And we're, you know, just, we, you know, this show, we're not super serious, but we do want to give you content that's going to help you. And that's my approach as a therapist too. I mean, there are times you need to be serious, but this isn't a podcast that's going to be super clinical, serious, psychobabble, kind of stuff.
No.
We just want to give it to you as real as we can. And that's what we aim to do.
But not in layman terms, but so a layman can understand it.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, because right. I mean, if I wanted to do a podcast for psychologists, it would be targeted towards them, which this is not. It's towards the masses, the people who are listening.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you folks where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. Check that out. All kinds of cool stuff on there, especially if you're looking for a show or if you want a personal hypnosis session, check that out. You can find me on social media, Facebook and YouTube, which are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Twitter and the Snapchat. I'm sorry, Instagram and the Snapchat. The Snapchat. I don't always call it that. The Motor, or, see, you got me.
I'm sorry.
You threw me off, Matt.
No! Don't shut me up!
We're out of practice. Yeah,
On Instagram and the Snapchat, Motor City Hypno, HYPNO. And as usual, just take a look at the show notes. We're always giving away free stuff. The free hypnosis guide is always there.
Yep.
So that's where you can find me. The big thing is wherever you're listening, whether it's the podcast or you're watching us on Facebook Live, which a lot of our people do.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for joining us. But if you're watching on Facebook Live, I hope you have liked my page. We just reached 45,000 fans on my Facebook page.
That's amazing.
Recently, fairly recently, in the past month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you like the page. That way you'll get updates and you can see when we go live and all of that good stuff. And if you're listening to the podcast on a platform, whatever platform that is, subscribe. That way you get it. You don't have to look for it. It just pops right into your device. You just pop it in. You know, half hour drive to work.
Yeah,
that's an episode.
Yep.
You're good. And leave a review. That's one of the biggest things I can say is leave a review because that helps other people find us as well. So before we move on, a big shout out to my good friend, Richard Barker, the incredible hypnotist.
All right.
He was in town. I hung out with him over the weekend. I was just telling Matt, I've not spent three nights out in a row since I was like 25, but that's okay.
How's your liver?
It's okay. Yeah. But yeah, Richard did a show at the Token Lounge last night. What was great. Fantastic. It was just a blast. So yeah, big shout out to my buddy, Richard Barker, the incredible hypnotist.
You said the Token Lounge and then my mind just goes to the Police Academy, the new Easter.
Yeah. And I know the Token Lounge has been around for forever. I think I think I saw it last night. Since 1971, that has existed. And they have a lot of rock band shows there. But they had him in last night. And again, it was great. It was a fantastic show. So, yeah, good shout out to him.
Awesome.
All right.
Here we go.
It's time, Matt.
That's how winning is done.
All right. What are we doing?
All righty. After golf conditions off the Florida Panhandle changed rapidly, one resident attempted to rescue three people trapped in a capsized houseboat.
I thought it was going a different direction.
Did
but
you?
Go on, yes.
Okay. Another boat saw what was happening and came to help and even rescue the rescuer, demonstrating the diffusion of heroism among folks of the Florida golf community.
Hmm.
It started last Friday when Travis Brady and his friends left the Panama City Marina on the opening day of red snapper season.
Okay, were they going to catch Marsha?
Red snapper season with storm clouds coming fast behind them.
Oh, boy.
So they went out to go red snapper fishing and big storm clouds coming in. Loath to miss the chance for the big catch, they nevertheless decided to call it a day early when the water became smattered with 5 to 6 foot waves.
Oof.
Yeah. On the way back to the marina, they saw a houseboat, a floating general store that served watermen near a sandbar.
Wait, was the store in the water?
Yes. It's a floating store.
It's a floating store. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That served watermen near a sandbar. It had broken free from its moorings.
So now
it's not a stationary store. It's a floating store for real, a drifting store.
Where's Kevin Costner when you need him?
As Brady and his friends approached.
Oh, great Odin's raven. What in blazes are you talking about?
I got it. It took me a second, but I got it. Worst movie ever.
Boy. That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yes, I know. So it broken free from his moorings. As Brady and his friends approached, they saw another boat had already arrived, and its owner was attempting to rescue three people trapped in the houseboat. That rescuer, later identified as Boy Jordan, jumped in the water, smashed the window, and helped all three people out after the houseboat capsized.
Wow.
So this general store sitting on moorings for people to come and get stuff.
Sure.
Became detached and flipped over. Yeah, capsized. He is the true hero of the story, Brady told WJHG. Without hesitation, he was just in the water helping those people.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, let me get my page turned here.
What the fuck is it?
Yeah, I know. I got it. I got it flipped. That's when Brady and his friends arrived, dodging debris and waves to throw a life jacket to Jordan with a line attached to it.
Mm.
The houseboat's occupants were already wearing their life jackets.
Okay.
Good thing.
Yeah.
Hauling Jordan aboard their already overcrowded fishing boat, they then guided the stranded individuals to the sandbar where they were able to walk ashore. Brady then took Jordan in his own boat before it crashed into the seawall.
My goodness. Such an excursion.
Not one injury was sustained, and there were no damages to either boat. All in all, it was a miraculous escape. I'm assuming that the general store is gone.
It's called shrinkage.
Yeah. all glory be to God, man. He puts us in the right place at the right time. I've never been super religious, but Friday was just an eye-opening moment for me. I just felt like the divine intervention put you in the right place at the right time.
Amen.
Yeah. And that was Mr. Brady, Travis Brady, Travis Brady talking. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, you just happen to go out fishing. All of a sudden, you're in the midst of a rescue.
Right.
I mean, I will say, not to put a damper on the story, but, you know, they probably...
I ain't listening to you no more.
I mean, they saw a storm was coming. Probably, yeah.
Right.
Should have stayed.
Right.
But the fact that they did go out helped them to rescue these other people. So all in all...
He does work in mysterious ways.
Yeah, all in all, a good story and a great winner of the week.
Thank you.
How winning is done.
Yes, it is.
All right.
So, back to it.
All right, Q&A.
Q&A. So we're doing Q&A. This is part 7, and we're going to do one more episode after this because we're just going to get through all the questions.
It's got to be even.
So that we can move on. So, but that's fine because these are things that again, people have asked or they want to know, and we want to be able to help them with that.
Fair.
So one of the questions was, what advice would you give to a person who's struggling with low self-esteem or lack of confidence?
Oh, repeat that again?
What advice would you give to a person who is struggling with low self-esteem or with lack of confidence?
Hey Dave.
Yeah?
You look great today.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. So do you.
So thank you.
Yeah.
I try hard.
You're a handsome man.
So are you. Compliments are wonderful.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm just trying to bring up your self-esteem a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. But here's the thing, and I know, because I deal with a lot of different clients, even myself, I can go back in my life, and there are times I'm like, yeah, you don't feel great about yourself, but...
Go on.
But a lot of times, so somebody with low self-esteem, when you give them a compliment, here's the typical reaction. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. That they just downplay it. They don't take it seriously because they're not used to hearing positive things about themselves.
Sure.
So here's the thing that I would say is that every individual, doesn't matter what you look like, what you do, what your occupation is, what your abilities are, everybody has strengths. Mm-hmm. Everybody has things that they are either good at or they feel more drawn to or are feel more experienced about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the big thing is find the things that you're good at and recognize those things and focus on those things. Mm-hmm. It's just like anything else. You have to practice something before you become competent in it. Mm. So I'll throw out a random thing. What if you want to learn to play a musical instrument? Let's say you want to learn to play guitar.
Well, you're
going to start and you're going to suck.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel good about the way you play. You're not going to ever play in front of anybody. But it's practicing that and getting confident with it yourself that enables you to kind of show that to other people. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's the same thing with yourself. Let's say that maybe you have a fear of, maybe you have a social anxiety that makes you feel like you're, you don't have any confidence with that.
Right.
I'm not confident in social situations.
Right. What do I talk about?
The best thing you can do is practice it.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to subject yourself to groups of hundreds or more, but even just practice the idea of it. And here's where mental imagery and imagination comes in. Play that scenario in your head. Mm-hmm. Play it like you're going into a group of 20 people. Play out that conversation like you're confident. You can do it to yourself in your head and then start implementing it for real. I think these mental practices are really something that a lot of people don't think about because it seems kind of nutty, but it's not.
Because I'm not talking to anybody.
You're getting your mind used to being confident or being able to do the thing that you're attempting to do. And that's the whole idea for it. So I would say even making small progress, you got to look at that and say, okay, am I better now than I was 30 days ago? Do I feel more confident now than I did last week? And you have to take those measurements. And I say this to clients all the time. When we're talking about progress, I'm like, do you feel like you're in a better place today than you were a month ago?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, I'm like, okay, look at that. Now imagine piling on 12 months, how much farther you're going to be, mm-hmm. how much further you're going to be.
Sure.
And that's the whole thing is just taking small steps, visualizing it, playing it out in your mind, and then just kind of practicing it. That's the best way you can do it.
See, that's what golfers do.
Mm-hmm.
When they walk up to it, they envision themselves.
Yep. They picture the shot. They picture it in their minds. Yeah. And most of the time, these guys, and that's a good example, Matt, because these guys have swung a club hundreds of thousands of times in their lives.
Yeah.
They know how to hit a golf ball. They're not like the hack that goes out on the weekend and is praying not to whiff.
How you doing?
I get it. So the whole thing, and with any professional athlete that has done something like that, the skill set is there. Mm-hmm. It's the mental part that you have to get connected. And again, yes, you're visualizing that shot to happen just the way you want it to. That's part of improving yourself. It's mm-hmm. part of getting better because mm-hmm. the physical skills are there. So I would say as far as lack of confidence or lack of self-esteem, look for those positive things and kind of nurture those things. Because there are a lot of people out there who have a very specialized skill set and that helps them to be successful.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we hit this one, so I'm going to skip that one.
Okay.
Because I think we already talked about where to find therapy.
Yes, we did. Ooh.
Where can I go to find inpatient care? So let me explain how this works.
Inpatient care.
Inpatient means you're hospitalized. You go to a facility, you're admitted. That is inpatient care. Outpatient care, which is the clinic that I run, is outpatient therapy. You go for a visit and you leave. It's outpatient. You come for your visit, you do your thing, you leave. Inpatient, again, is being admitted to a facility so that you can get help.
That help, though, Dave.
Yes.
It could be anywhere from restabilizing your medication
yep.
to an absolute mental breakdown.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of levels of inpatient care.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that's the question that I would ask of this question, that yes, there are a lot of levels and it depends on what exactly you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I will say this, if somebody's in crisis, whether they're suicidal or again, having a mental breakdown, mm-hmm. just not being able to function, your best resource is to go to the ER, wherever that is.
Sure.
Because at that point, now, once they figure out what's going on, now you can be directed to something, another facility that can address your issues.
Sure.
So when I always say, whenever there's any doubt or any question about life being in jeopardy or some serious injury or inability to function, the ER is the best place to go.
Gotcha.
To start.
Yep.
They will get you to where you need to be. Now, a lot of people out there are looking for, let's say, substance abuse. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, somebody's been an alcoholic or a drug addict for many years, and they think, I just want to get clean. Mm-hmm. Now, that one's going to take some research because you have there are facilities everywhere for that. Mm-hmm. And typically, and I did inpatient substance abuse in my internship 100 years ago. So it's probably changed since then. But typically, they'll have a minimum stay for a substance abuse program. Mm-hmm. It used to be 30 days. I don't know if it's still that now.
Huh.
I would have to look into that. But it's a place where you go, and especially if you're an alcoholic, you need medical supervision because you're going to withdraw from this substance, and mm-hmm. that can be dangerous.
Yes,
without medical supervision,
the detox,
DTs, the reaction, your body's reacting against not having the substance that you've had.
Right.
So that one, as far as finding an inpatient substance abuse, again, there are programs a lot of different places, and the best thing to do on that one is to do research. Go online, and this is going to come into play. One, does your insurance cover it?
Uh-huh.
Two,
if you have,
can you, and if you don't have insurance, is this something you can afford?
Okay.
Because there's everything from free programs to programs that will cost you $10,000 a week.
Sure.
Because there are different levels mm-hmm. of care there. If you're in question, again, crisis, go to the ER. Anything else, I would probably, probably the best place to do is to consult with your PCP, your primary care. They can usually direct you, or even your therapist. They will probably know of programs if you want to get mm-hmm. something that's a little more
comprehensive word for it. Almost,
like specialized.
Special, okay.
Yes, like substance abuse or again, substance abuse can be different sometimes. Sometimes programs will only do alcohol. They won't do drugs. Sometimes there's specific drug rehab programs that don't do alcohol. So right. It can be very specialized.
But you said something that kind of sparked my
yeah.
brain. You said, you know, talk to your therapist.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing when you have a therapist is you have to be 100% honest with mm-hmm. that individual. So when you do have a problem, you can go in and they're not going to judge you. And
yeah.
Because you told them the absolute
yes,
God honest
absolutely.
Truth.
And,
right?
And
now they can help you.
Their number one concern is to help you
right.
with whatever you have to deal with. So you're right. You need to be 100% honest
mm-hmm.
and you have to be transparent with
Very.
Your professionals, with your primary care, with your therapist, even with a partner. I would say even that it goes to that far because if people don't know exactly where you're at, they're not going to know how to help you.
Sure.
That is the big thing. Where can I learn more information about creating a psychiatric advance directive?
Okay.
Yes.
I've heard of directives, you know, that you have when you are going to
yep.
the hospital, right?
So think of a healthcare power of attorney. That mm-hmm. that's kind of what we're talking about, but for your mental health.
Okay.
In case at some point you become incapacitated or a lot of people who have
dementia, maybe
or may have a psychotic break where they can't make decisions for themselves that are healthy because you're not thinking right at that point.
Sure.
So it is. It's just like any other power of attorney or any other advance directive. It's a legal document. It's signed. It's done by an attorney. It's filed, but it gives you the chance to spell out how you would like things to be done. It provides instructions regarding treatment or services, mm-hmm. and then who is in charge of that.
Sure.
Of making those decisions. And that's the big thing.
One of my directives that I have is called the Old Yeller Clause.
It's one to shoot you if you're
just take me
if you get rabies.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, I probably have that same directive. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, and here's what happens a lot with people in general. They'll get health directives or even psychiatric directives that we're talking about, but that may have done it 30 years ago.
Right.
And the person that you wanted to kind of handle this might not even still be alive, or it might not be somebody you're close with anymore.
Sure.
It might be a family member. Like, because typically in most cases, if you're married, you would want your partner to be that person. But when you do these directives, they get filed and they don't get touched again unless you change them. So sure. I've seen this over and over again where people are like, oh, yeah, my spouse is the person that has right to make decisions, but we've been divorced for 10 years. But that's the only legal document on file. So right. So make sure these things like this, and I'm not even talking about just psychiatric care, your health care, your end of life, wills.
Update your beneficiaries.
These things need to be updated at least yearly, yes. Or if you have a major life change or relationship change.
It's always a good...
You have to revisit those things.
You have to revisit them, and just a good reminder is when the time changes in the fall, when you fall back,
yep.
You gain that hour, spend that hour to update that information.
Absolutely, and it's going to be well worth it because you want the right person mm-hmm. to be in charge of that. I mean, again, think, if you're incapacitated...
Yeah.
Who do you want to be making those decisions?
Me?
Yeah, right. And that's, you know, and that can be, you know, scary sometimes.
But you would have made that decision if you had already planned for it.
Right.
So when that
well,
does
that's
happen,
right. Yeah. Yes. You just have somebody to kind of execute it.
Correct.
And make it the way you want it to
correct.
Be.
Don't dress me in a tutu. That's just please. I'm sorry, man. I know you're looking for something.
Damn it, I can't find it. Hold on.
Great heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
That fits.
Yeah.
That fits.
Yes. Wow, these are really good questions because it makes me think. It makes me want to ask more questions.
Yes.
Right? I'm joking around.
And honestly, that's why this series is going on a lot longer than we expected. But because questions lead into questions, and there's so many overlapping things that plug into a lot of this. Mm-hmm. So when we start discussing it, yeah, a lot of other things come up but we want to make sure we answer all of the things. That's the big thing.
Right.
This sounds like a very general question.
Okay.
What is mental health and why is it important? Now, I know that sounds very super general.
That's vague.
But in general, I'm going to answer this and say it's really your emotional, your psychological, and your physical well-being. That is mental health. Because a lot of people hear the term mental health and they think mental illness.
Right.
And it's not that. It's like saying, hey, how's your physical health, Matt?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. But if I say, how's your mental health? People, it's fantastic. People just all automatically assume, oh, whoa. What?
Well, I'm not crazy.
I'm not mentally ill. Yeah, I'm not crazy. I haven't lost my mind. But see, that's the stigma around mental health is that when people hear the word, it's automatically assumed something's wrong.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that at all.
And, you know, when someone asks me, it's like somebody asks you, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
The best response, hey, I'm still smiling. That's
or my... just say, no, I'm not.
Yeah. And that's how I came to be with my now partner person. She asked me a question on the Facebook through Messenger and she said, how you doing? I said, terrible. How are you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we just started talking.
Yep.
You know,
I mean, there's really no reason unless it's just a passing acquaintance or somebody you don't know and you don't want to get into it. I get that.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you really should be honest about where you're at, especially with mental health, because there again, there's systemic, because I mean, if somebody asked me, hey, how you doing? And I'll be like, oh, you know what? I really messed up my back last week, so I'm really having a hard time getting around. I wouldn't think twice about that. But if somebody says, hey, how's your mental health doing? I'll be like, well, you know what? Last week, you know, I had a revolver out on the table and I was spinning it. Yeah, yeah, I know I'm being very,
that's
very
dramatic.
Dramatic, yes. On that.
Wow. Oh, great Odin's
raven. But people are less likely to be truthful about their mental health status and how they're feeling.
True. And you're yeah. absolutely correct yeah. in that. And it's a tough thing to talk about. But yep. if you're honest with yourself, mm-hmm. you're true to yourself, yep. and you put the homework into yep. be mentally healthy, you're going to have a better outcome and a better,
absolutely.
Better conversation.
And you're just going to feel better. Yeah, it's and I'm telling you, it will affect everything else in your life, even as far as your physical health mm-hmm. goes. Right. And everything else gets connected to it.
Goes back to the first question that was asked this evening, mm-hmm. right? You know that not having the the first question that we talked about. It was having the comprehension and the being. Darn it! I'm losing my train of thought. The very first question on that page in your left hand.
Oh, what advice would you give to somebody struggling with low self-esteem?
There it is.
There it is. Yes.
But that's low self-esteem. It comes from not being able to vocalize and really share yep. how you are feeling.
Yeah.
But if you can, and you're just honest with yourself, mm-hmm. that's only going to help your self-esteem in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to put puzzle pieces together there. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to be back
mm-hmm.
with our last Q&A, mental health Q&A. On next episode. If you're on Facebook Live, stay with us. We're going to be right back to record our next episode. If you're listening on whatever platform you're listening on, jump to the next episode, or it will drop the next Tuesday or Thursday. And before we leave,
ooh,
we have to say,
who is it? Who is this?
You know who needs a home? Who? Gus.
Gus.
Gus needs a home.
I got to share a funny story.
Gus
with you
is
about
a beagle
Gus.
Mix. He's about, he will be 20 pounds. He's dog friendly. They don't know about cats. He's kid friendly.
What type of puppy is he?
He's a beagle mix.
Oh, you said beagle mix.
Look at Gus.
Oh, Gus is adorable. I love that.
There's Gus. Oh. Gus needs a home.
Aw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look
thanks
at that
for
face.
Sharing that.
Look at that face. And he was born April 2023.
Oh,
so
he's a puppy.
Just a couple months old.
He's a puppy.
He's a puppy, and he needs a home. Look at that face. So, yeah. Shout out to Gus. Go pick him up, people.
Awesome.
Detroit Dog Rescue. All right, folks. We'll be back. In the meantime, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.